It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Good morning, everybody. My name is John Schmell. You're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live every weekday morning at 9:30 on Giants.com, our very own call and talk show, where you can participate on the phones at 201-939-4513 or on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Good morning, everybody, and today I want to pick up where we kind of left off yesterday, and a great Twitter conversation took place between a lot of the guys on hashtag Giants Chat after the show, and really we discussed a lot of the guys in this tight end class as we try to discuss what the Giants are going to attempt to do with their first and second round picks. And really, there are five tight ends in this draft that could go in rounds 1 through 3. Now, someone else might sneak into the end of that third round, but to me, these are easily the top five tight ends on the draft board, and most people seem to agree based on the experts that you see online. And I'll go through one by one each guy, talk about what they're good at, what they need to, you know, get better at, and where I think they fit on fit with the Giants. And the first guy on everybody's list is Eric Ebron, and what really sets him apart from these other tight ends is his excellent athletic ability. And, you know, these other guys are long. They can catch the ball. They can run straight line speed. But what separates Ebron from them is his not only his length, which is great, but these other guys are tall as well. It's his explosiveness. It's his ability to make the big play. His ability not only to be elusive and go side by side, but to burst after he catches the ball and make big plays down the field. He's a better athlete than every other tight end in this draft. He is a Jimmy Graham type of athlete. Now, he doesn't come with that as warts. He has some concentration drops. He can be redirected on his routes too often, sometimes a little sloppy. But the biggest red flag comes in his blocking. And at times over the course of his college career, he has lacked technique. He has lacked effort in terms of his blocking consistency. Now, he's spoken a good game coming out of college, how he wants to be a better blocker. He has the body at 6'4", 250 to be a good blocker. He has the arm length to be a good blocker. But is it simply lip service to get drafted higher, or is he really willing to go out there and become a better blocker? It's a great question. It's something that he'll have to develop and have to get better at. But is he a good blocker right now? No, he is not. He's going to have to get better at it. And then again, the combine, he says he wants to be a Vernon Davis type of player where he can do both. Well, he has to prove that. But to me, more so than any of the other tight ends in this draft class, he can be a difference maker as a catcher of the football. And that's why I think he's a good fit for the Giants, because they, to me, still need somebody to take some of that attention off Victor Cruz. And I'm willing to roll the dice on a guy like that, that I can make him into a passable blocker. Remember, Kevin Boss wasn't a good blocker when he got here either. He didn't want to block anybody. And he didn't have the body to block anybody, but he became that guy. And Ebron certainly has the ability to become that guy too. Now, the second guy that I like the most in this draft class, and if he's there in the second round, the Giants don't go tight end in round one, I would consider it, and that's Austin Seferian-Jenkins. Now, he has good length and hands. He's a good athlete as well. Has some speed to get down the field. Doesn't have top-end speed, but it's good enough. Good body control. Can catch the ball in traffic. But there's issues with him. He's not elusive or explosive like Ebron. He's not going to be that guy with the top-end speed that makes the big play down the field. He reminds me of a Brandon Pettigrew, who is a great, you know, body size, speed, but he's more of a possession receiver in the middle of the field. And that's great, but he's not going to be that guy that requires a double team. You know, Ebron is too fast for linebackers, too big for DBs. Zafarian Jenkins, he is too big for defensive backs, but he's not going to have that breakaway speed that's going to kill a linebacker. Now he is a much more accomplished blocker than Ebron is at this point of his career. A lot of time he doesn't play with the power that matches his 6'5", 260 frame. But he played in line a lot at Washington, a lot more than Ebron did at North Carolina, and is a better blocker. He still has ways to improve there, but he's better in that regard than Eric Ebron. But again, he lacks that explosiveness that Ebron has. Jason Moore out of Texas Tech, he's more of a wide receiver and a tight end's body, even more so than Ebron. And he also doesn't have the explosiveness that Ebron does. He's got very good hands, can beat press coverage, can get up the seam, runs good routes. But he played 90% of his snaps in the slot at Texas Tech. So he has very limited experience as an inline blocker, period. So I'd be worried about him adjusting to the NFL. Then you have Troy Niklas out of Notre Dame, 6'6", 270. Best blocker in this draft. He can still improve a little bit in some technique and be a better finisher there, but he's an excellent blocker, can block on the line of scrimmage. But, again, as a wide receiver, he's got some good hands, very unpolished as a route runner, isn't very fast in terms of a top-end speed, isn't really elusive, is not a big play guy. A more productive Anthony Fasano is the type of description that I've gotten for him. Will be reliable, a good receiver. But again, he's a guy that's going to catch that 8-yard, you know, pass for you, that little out, that little hook, that little button hook. He's not going to, you know, beat guys down the field and make big plays. 6'6", 270 alike, a good frame, really good blocker, solid player, but again, not a difference maker. Then you have C.J. Fedorowicz out of Iowa. Ran a 4.76 at the combine, 6'5", 265. Again, he's a good blocker, very smart player. Could improve his technique, good pass protector. Has soft hands, but again, he lacks the explosiveness and the athleticism to be a difference maker in the passing game. And he's had some drops as well. You know, he's going to be a good inline blocker and a safety blanket type of tight end in the NFL. Solid starter, not a Pro Bowler. I'm not sure Niklas is going to be a Pro Bowler either, because I don't think he's going to be good enough as a receiver. So that's how I see it. I see Fedorowicz as more of a third-round guy. Zafarian Jenkins and Niklas I would consider in round number two. But I still think Ebron is a very attractive guy in round one. And here's my final, you know, sell as to why I think Ebron's a legitimate first-round player. To me, the Giants, after last season, still lack difference makers and playmakers on offense, all right? You have Cruz, but who's the other guy that's going to scare you? I don't think he's on this roster. So I worry about that from a playmaking standpoint from the New York Giants. I really do. I really worry about that. And I think Ebron can be that type of playmaker. Now, I think there are other guys in the first round that can do that too. I think Mike Evans can be that type of guy if he's there. Now, I saw a draft come out on NFL.com yesterday that had both Ebron and Mike Evans off the board for the Giants at 12. So who knows what can happen there? You know what I mean? But I think Ebron can be that difference maker type of athlete, and I'll roll the dice that you can get him better as a blocker. I think there are some questions, but I think you can figure things out. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Before we get to your calls, I want to bring in a guy who's making his premiere today. Now, you've seen him on Giants.com, so you know his face. You know his writing ability. Now you're going to hear his voice for the first time. And that's my good buddy Dan Salmon. Danny, good morning. How are you, man?
Hello, Mr. Schmelk. How are you?
I feel like I've had more trouble getting you to make your debut on the show than I have getting some guests on sometimes.
Well, we've had so many calls, I've had to screen them all.
Oh, that is true. Yeah, Dan also is the guy you've been talking to, the guys that have been calling in that has screen calls. So, Dan, before we get to our calls, I know you've taken a pretty tight look at a lot of these tight ends in the draft as well. What are your take on some of these guys, and who do you think is a good fit for the Giants and when?
Well, you have sufficiently brainwashed me about Eric Ebron.
Have I?
Yes.
Nice.
You're getting me there. Not fully. but, yeah, I mean, everything. You hit the nail on the head with this breakdown of the top five you have there. And Eric Ebron, the game changer. If you want to go that route in the first round, I think that's definitely a possibility. I'm still not sold that the Giants are going to take a tight end in the first round. but you are doing your best of convincing me.
I'm trying. Now, of the guys in the second round, of that second tier of guys, who do you like the most?
I think I like the big guy out of Notre Dame, Troy Nicholas.
Yeah.
He's – McAdoo came in. He said this offense is going to have an identity. They're going to be a power team. I don't know if that's – offensive coordinators are going to say that. But
we'll see exactly how much of a reality that is.
But he's the guy that can provide that for you.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'm with you on that. I think Seferian Jenkins is kind of your go-between. So I think Ebron's your explosive pass guy. Nicklaus is going to be your, you know, road grinder type of tight end. That's going to be the running game type of guy. And I think Seferian Jenkins will give you a little bit of bolt. So I think really those are your three options for the Giants, either Ebron in round one or the other two guys in round two.
Yeah, completely agree.
201-939-4513. Now, a couple things about Mr. Salamone here. Just so, because I will tease him about certain things over the course of the show. So I want to set the stage for that
before we
move on. One, he is one of the best beards in the building. So I will tease him about beards over the course of the show.
It's quite an honor.
He grew up in Minnesota.
Yes.
Went
true.
To Ohio State. I think, fairly obsessed with Ohio State would be.
That would be a safe assessment.
Now, yesterday was a bad day for Dan.
It was bad. Michael Eisen just handed me the headline of the Dayton Daily News. And the headline is, the University of Dayton.
Oh, obviously.
Just had to rub it in a little right there.
You know, obviously beating cross-state rival Ohio State, a big thing
that,
for Dayton.
That just makes it worse, losing to the in-state Dayton. But I didn't have many expectations for this team heading into the tournament, so this won't sting me as much as losing to Michigan State in football.
Or Michigan, obviously.
Or Michigan. But we beat Michigan.
Okay. So nine
out of 10 years, just throwing that in.
I know. So those are the various things we'll be getting on Dan on over the course of this show. Okay. And let's get to the phones at 201-939-4513. We'll take your calls in the order in which they are received. We have our tech guru, Nilay Shah, now keeping an eye on the phone lines. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania to lead us off. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Good, good. And my question is with the tight ends there.
Yep.
I was seeing here that that Ebron, you think someone would come up to snatch him before us? Or who did you see that was going to draft him?
The one mock draft I saw, I believe, had Ebron going to the Buffalo Bills, if I'm not mistaken. And it makes a certain amount of sense. You know, the Bills have a couple running backs that can make some big plays. But in the passing game, they don't have a ton of wide receivers or tight ends that can really make plays down the field.
Yeah. See, I'm looking for somebody, or I was thinking a receiver, if the Giants could get one, if Evans and that, what's his name's off the board there, that, you know, somebody to open up the field, you know, like, what's his name from Philly there, a speed receiver or something like that to cause mismatches and stuff like that. And I did hear that Nicholas, that he just had a hernia or something like that. He didn't work out in his pro day, so I don't know if that would throw in something, a wrench in the kinkers there, that the Giants wouldn't take him. And also, I did hear that Taylor Lewan, that he was, like, arrested. He had some charges brought against him for battery or something.
Yeah, Taylor Lewan just had some, I think it was either assault or battery, something like that. And he's been, you know, the accusations were there beforehand, and that was kind of the off-the-field red flags everyone was talking about, Lewan. But I believe official charges were drawn up a couple days ago. So that's something the Giants will obviously keep an eye on.
Yeah. And he's released a statement saying he was not involved with this. He said he was actually trying to break up a fight. It's actually after an Ohio State Michigan game. To circle back.
Okay.
Don't want to bring that all in, but that's what he said.
So then you would think if you know both of them were gone, that the Giants would take him, then that they wouldn't be afraid of his
You know, I think we have to see what happens when this thing goes to trial. I don't know when it's going to go to trial. I doubt it would before the draft, considering the glacial pace of the United States legal system from year to year. But, look, I think the bottom line is that might scare certain teams off. But from what I understand, he's not a bad kid. That doesn't seem to be the rap on him. So I don't think that would necessarily scare teams away. And I think he'd be a pretty effective offensive lineman right away in the NFL.
So that's who you think they'd be one of their targets then, if Taylor or Evans and Ebron's gone, then you believe that?
I think three offensive linemen could go to the Giants at that point. It could be either Greg Robinson if he falls, which would be a shock to me.
Yeah,
I think Matthews, a better chance he falls, but unlikely. I think Lawan's the guy that'll be.
Yeah, I think the consensus is those two guys will be gone at 12.
Yeah.
Okay, well, who was the Giants' all-time leading receiver in receptions for a tight end? I go back to, you know what I mean, but this is when it was only 12 games. I don't know if you remember Bob Tucker. He used to play with Fran Tarkington. He was from my area here. And it was very exciting. He didn't win a lot of games, but they were exciting to watch.
Yeah, I mean, look, Bob Tucker was an excellent tight end. I'm not sure who was actually first on the Giants' all-time leading receiving for tight ends. It might be shocking.
Yeah.
I will actually look that up. I'm not positive about that.
Now, is that just for a year or the career? That's what I was getting at.
Career. I believe Shockey owns the career record. For single season record, and, you know, Bavaro's probably up there too, but his career was cut short by injury, so I'm not sure if it's him. Dan's
looking it up for you right now.
Dan's on it here, Joe. I appreciate the call, and we'll have that answer for you in just a second, all right?
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. We'll see you. Bye.
Appreciate it. And, you know, the funny thing about it, I think a lot of our callers, and, you know, I've gotten some people that are in favor of Ebron, Danny, and some guys that, you know, more want to go that traditional route. And I think people that have watched Giants for a long time and have sat around and, you know, they love Mark Bavaro, they love Shockey, I think they see the, you know, Safarian Jenkins and more Troy Niklas as the type of tight end the Giants seem to have wanted to go towards in the past.
Exactly. They like that big tight end. It's going to give you the presence in the middle. It's going to make all the tough catches. It's going to be there to block. It's going to be the safety valve for Eli, somebody he can depend on. And that's what they're looking for.
But I will say this, and a lot of and you've said this to me too, where, you know, the Giants, I just don't see them picking a tight end in the first round. They've probably picked a tight end in the first round more than a lot of teams. I mean, you had Derek Brown in the tight end. We talked about that in 1992. And then you had Jeremy Shockey as a first-round pick, you know, in the last decade or so. So they have gone that way before if they think they have a game-changing type of player.
Yeah, it's not unprecedented. Recently, though, it's been the defensive ends. But historically speaking, yes.
And the way you look at it, I don't see any defensive ends that seem to be available at 12 where value meets need there. Do you?
No. I mean, first guy's Clowney, then after that, you're going to find guys later on. I think that'll be where you are.
Late teens, early 20s,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
201-939-4513. Let's get back to our phones and say what's up to Mike in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Mike, what's up, pal?
Hi, John. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Mike. What's up?
First-time caller, forever Giants fan.
I appreciate it. Mike, say hi to Dan Salamone as well.
Hi, Dan. How are you this morning?
Hi, good. How are you?
Second day of spring.
Can't be too bad. Yeah, can't be that. Yeah, it should be a nice weekend, yeah.
I'd like to get you guys opinion and thoughts on something here. Two games into the season last year, I realized that they couldn't block for Eli. They couldn't pass block. They couldn't run block. He was getting beat into the dirt every game. The Giants have made some additions to the offensive line that I like, and I'm sure they're not done there. And but anyway, about Ebron, as much as we love Eli Manning, he is not the most accurate quarterback in the NFL.
Eli can be inconsistent from time to time. I agree with that.
And what intrigues me about Ebron is the more tape that I watch on him, he will go up and get a ball that is thrown high or come back to make that catch. And with the offensive line situation the way it is right now, that is the type of tight end that I would love to have to help Eli out. Because if Eli is on the move and he decides to throw one of his high passes, it seems as though Ebron will make the adjustments and catch that ball.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's one of the things that sets Ebron apart. Now, all of these other guys at tight ends, and Dan, you can just look at the height weight on these guys. You got Austin Seferian Jenkins, 6'5", 260. Jason Morrow is 6'5". Niklas is 6'6". Fedorowicz is 6'5". All these guys have the length and size to go up and get the football. But I think Ebron is more apt, while he is more apt to make the concentration drop, I think he is also more apt to make that big stretch out the arms play over the middle.
Yeah, correct. He has the physical tools to go do it, go get you the big hard plays. And then you mentioned it, the consistency. It's a trade-off. It's in the evaluation of them. It's a trade-off.
But I think he, more so than the other guys, too, can come down with the football and then run after the catch and make a big play.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I just think of all the years of watching Jason Witten pick us apart. And it would be nice to have a tight end in our arsenal that, you know, like other teams have to game plan for, that will free up crews, you know, allow some of our other receivers to make some big catches. I just think that a tight end of that stature would help the Giants immensely.
Now, Mike, I hear you. I appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, bud. And the thing about it, too, Mike, is that to me, you mentioned Witten. Ebron is not Jason Witten. Witten is more of the Austin Seferian Jenkins, Troy Niklas type, where when Witten came into the league, remember, he was projected more as a blocker and a safety blanket type of wide receiver. He's just such a savvy route runner and receiver that he's turned himself into the type of player he is now.
Exactly. And the intangibles you can't overlook. He's just a pro through and through. That's a guy that's been there forever, done it so long. And if it's, I'll sign up for that guy if he's out there.
Yeah, he never misses a game either.
Yeah,
I mean, he played, what, the ruptured spleen 2 years ago in the first game of the year?
Yeah, it's incredible.
And, you know, Ebron to me projects more as a Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, Jimmy Graham type than a Witten type. I'm not saying that's a bad thing necessarily, but Jason Witten's don't come along every year. Where, you know, you watch Jason Witten play, Dan, and we've talked about this before. It doesn't look like he's running that fast.
Yeah.
And you wonder how the hell he gets open all the time, but he just figures out a way to do it with the savvy and his route-running ability.
Yeah, they can find the openings, they can find the seam, they can get to it, and come down with the ball.
And he simply has just a great chemistry with Tony Romo. Ebron has more of that explosive ability, like those other guys that look like a basketball player that's playing football.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to our phones and go to Joe in New York next. Joe, what's going on?
How you doing, Johnny Schmoke?
What's up, Joe? How are you?
Great to be talking to you again on Big Blue Kickoff Live, the best source for Giants information and talk. Sponsored in part by Toyota, the official vehicle of your Giants.
Well, you know, Joe, I am going to take that and I'm going to put it in a commercial. How about that? The check is in the mail, my friend.
A little bit of grief about that one.
No, I appreciate it. What's up?
Quick thing, I want to give you a little personal anecdote. Last year, I went to the Giants barbecue dinner that was at Giants Stadium. It's a great event, charity auction and barbecue with the players and staff. And I happened to run into the GM, Jerry Reese, there. And
okay.
When I was going up to him to say hi, and a little kid comes up to him and said, "Listen, when I grow up, I want to be a GM, too." And this is when they were in the middle of this four-game losing streak.
Okay.
And Jerry Reese turns to the kid and says, "Well, I guess I better watch out for you because you might be coming to take my job the way I'm doing." But I got to give him kudos. I don't know if it was the kid or maybe the ownership that lit a fire under him, and now he's making moves and really improving the team in an amazing way, and he deserves all the credit in the world.
Well, you know, Joe, I think, you know, having a fire lit underneath him after a couple bad years is one thing, but frankly, this year he happened to have the resources. The Giants' cap situation got sorted out where he actually had money to spend this year. Last year, Dan and I talked about it, they just didn't have any money to spend.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Let me ask you one other thing, if I could. Who do you think is the most indispensable player that the Giants have on their roster right now?
Eli Manning.
I know the answer, but I want to ask anyhow.
Eli Manning.
Okay. If that's the case, right, and we're struggling to find money to sign additional players to fill holes, why are we carrying three quarterbacks on our roster? If the backup quarterback's job is to come in a pinch, run the scout team, and carry a clipboard, right, couldn't Ryan Nassib do that on his own? I mean, if Eli Manning goes down, I don't see us winning games with Curtis Painter. So why are we carrying three quarterbacks?
Well, I think the team last year would have had a much better chance of winning games with Curtis Painter than they did with Ryan Nassib. Quite frankly, Joe, the way I see it, and based on the fact that Giants kept three quarterbacks, I think it's probably the way they see it as well, is that if Eli would have had the ankle injury that he had in week 17, if he would have had that in week, let's say, 4 or 5, and you bring Ryan Nassib in and he's your starting quarterback, and you have to play Philadelphia on October 6th, let's say, you have about a 0.3% chance of winning that football game. Now, if Curtis Painter, your starting quarterback, maybe you have a, you know, 15 to 20% chance of winning, but certainly better than 1 or 2%. I mean, Ryan Nassib, to me, was not ready to play last year as a backup quarterback. And I think it's pretty obvious the Giants felt the same way based on the fact they kept three guys. And Dan, I think, and I want to get your opinion on this too, they're done with this three-quarterback thing. This year, it's either going to be Peyton or it's going
to
be Nassib.
Yeah, I think that frustrated Tom Coughlin all last year, trying to find getting that extra roster spot. You know, he doesn't like doing that. You hit on it yesterday. That's going to be an interesting battle in training camp. It's going to be kind of a story under the radar, but that's going to be very interesting who will be Eli Manning's backup.
And it's funny. I was talking to Ryan Nassib, too. He was hanging around doing something. He's been here working out and you know, trying to get better in year number two. He says the terminology and a lot of the stuff that McAdoo has in this new system, he believes is going to be very similar to some of the stuff he's done at Syracuse. Maybe that will help him a little bit.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks a lot for taking my call. I appreciate it. Hey, best of luck out there.
I appreciate it, Joe. Thanks a lot. Where do you think Nassib has to get better? Where do you think he has to make that next progression in order to be the second quarterback?
I'd say pocket presence. I think we saw him at least last year in training camp. You saw he makes his best throws on the run.
He does.
In the pocket. Struggled with accuracy sometimes. So I think pocket presence and commanding the huddle, I think that's a big thing Tom Coughlin preaches, is his quarterbacks need to control that huddle, calm everybody down, be on the same page, and he'll get that with experience.
You know, the funny thing about Nassib, he actually looked pretty strong in the OTAs. I thought the first couple of days of training camp he looked good, and then there seemed to be a bit of a drop-off, almost like he was a little bit overwhelmed, like as they kept throwing more and more information at him. And obviously, as you go through training camp, the playbook just grows and grows exponentially. Yeah. It seemed like, and I'm sure this is the case for most rookie quarterbacks, he started swimming a little bit, or I should say sinking and not swimming.
And you got to remember, this draft process is so long and so drawn out these days. You hit it's inevitable you're going to hit a wall.
Yeah, I think that happened to Nassib last year, no doubt about it. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Ed in Houston, Texas next. Ed, what's going on, pal? How are you?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Ed. How are you?
Good. Hey, I tried calling in yesterday. Boy, I kept getting the busy thing, and I don't do the Twitter thing. But, boy, before you could even ask that complete question about Derrick Brown, I'm sitting here at the computer screaming, Derrick Brown! I knew that dude.
Now, Ed, I want to back up for 1 second. Now, the first day of spring was yesterday. Are you out there?
Yeah.
Are you out there getting the boat ready, trying to get back out on that lake and like do a little fishing? Are you all set?
Oh no, I'm a sailboat racer. I've already been on the water 9 times this year.
Wow.
We had 2 racing series, and it's going to be 78. But I'm just coming out of the flu. I've been down for 10 days, and the only entertainment I've had is waking up and getting on this computer with a cup of coffee and being entertained by you guys.
Ed, I love you to death. Thanks for the loyalty, but that is one of the most depressing things I've ever heard in my whole life.
You got to set your bar a little higher.
Yeah.
Hey, when you're hurting, you got to grab for what you can enjoy, you know?
Yeah, what do you got for me, Ed?
Well, you know, given the aggressiveness of Jerry Reese this year in free agency, I know you said the Giants probably wouldn't trade up because they like to hold on to their draft choices, but if Mike Evans is still there around 8 or 9, do you think Jerry Reese might be tempted to bump up a couple of spots to get Evans? Because you guys are talking about these tight ends, and Ebron looks like he's really good, but he can only do one thing, but he's willing to learn something else, and it's starting to sound like half of Brandon Myers and half of Adrian Robinson.
I think that's a little unfair. I think Eric Ebron has more raw tools than both those guys put together.
Oh, okay. Well, I could just see Evans. You know the guy's 6'5". You know he can run a 4.47 in short, and you know he can catch the ball, and he could probably block if necessary downfield. And to have him on the outside, if he and Eli could get some continuity, they'd have to double him. And if they do, that would open up the rest of the field for the rest of them. I just think he would really be a great choice, even if they have to sacrifice something to move up a little bit.
Yeah, Ed, I love the guy you're talking about. I'm not sure that I would agree with moving up. I think I love Evans. I love what he can do. I think he's a player that you'd obviously snatch up in a heartbeat if he's there. I'm not sure they're going to move up, though.
Yeah, well, I can only hope. I just hope they have a good pick, because this has been a very entertaining free agency period for the Giants so far. The fans are loving it. Hey, one more question.
Yeah.
Eric Kennedy, during the season for Big Blue Interactive, was calling in on Thursdays, and they kind of got away from that. And I was just curious if maybe you can get him back on again, because you get a lot of fan perspective.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? And it's funny. I actually talked to Neely about trying to get Eric back on over the course of the offseason. We talked about a month and a half ago, and then everything started happening with free agency, and it kind of fell by the wayside. But I will re-engage Neely with that. He'll reach out to Eric, and we will try to get him on a once-a-week spot over the offseason as well. There was no reason we went away from it. Honestly, everything just started going on, and we had so many callers, and it kind of just fell by the wayside, but that's something I will try to re-engage here over the course of the next couple of weeks.
Well, great. I'll look forward to it.
Thanks, okay. Ed.
Sounds good.
Thanks for taking the call, and you guys have a good weekend.
Appreciate it.
Feel
man.
Better.
And Ed, feel better is right. And Dan, you know, it's tough. And again, I haven't committed to this yet, so I'm still kind of on the fence. If both Evans and Ebron are there at 12, it's a very, very tough decision.
It's also a very good problem to have.
Oh, it's an excellent problem to have. Because I think both guys do provide that weapon that other teams have to really worry about in double team.
That's true.
What did you see from Evans over the course of his college career that makes you like him so
much? I think a lot of the same things we're seeing with Ebron. He goes out and gets the ball. He'll fight for that ball. He'll make the tough play. And not to mention just his athletic abilities off the charts.
And you know, he's one of the guys I think the combine really helped him. You know, people worried about his speed heading into the combine. Then he sits down, he runs a 4.5, and people are like, wait a second. If this guy's 6.5, he's got that body, and he can run, look out.
Confirms everything they see on tape. What they see on tape is a lot of touchdowns, a lot of catches, a lot of yards.
Once you get past Watkins and Evans, is there another wide receiver that you like enough that you think the Giants could take at 12, or is that a deal where maybe you would have to trade down and try to get a wide receiver late teens, early 20s? We're talking about the Marquise Lees, the Odell Beckham Jr.'s, the short, fast kid out of Kelvin Benjamin, the big guy. Yeah. Then you have the short, fast kid out of Oregon. I can always forget the kid's name.
Yeah.
But what do you think of the rest of the wide receivers once you get past Evans and Sammy Watkins, who obviously be off the board?
Yeah, I mean, what we've talked about, what we've heard the whole time is how deep this draft is, and wide receiver is one of those positions. I think Marquise Lee is a guy that you'd look at. Benjamin is definitely a guy that we talked about yesterday would be a great fit. What do you think?
But probably not at 12, though, right? For those
not
guys,
at 12,
think?
That'd be high. No. I thought we were talking about a little later on.
I think you would have to trade down and then pick one of those guys. I think there are simply more talented players at other positions that will probably give you more value at 12 than one of those wide receivers.
It's definitely a position you're going to – I think the Giants would fill later on if they can't get an Evans in the first round.
Yeah, because to me, I don't know how many wide receivers are going to go in the first round, right? But you can't figure it's going to be much more than 6 or 7. So I got to think when the Giants come around to pick in round 2, one of the Kelvin Benjamins, the Odell Beckhams, the Brandon Cooks, you know, the Allen Robinsons, the Davante Adams, one of those guys is probably going to be there at 2 if the Giants want to pick him there, right?
Yeah, I think they will be,
201-939-4513. Let's go back to our phone and say what's up to Jeff up in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's going on, pal?
Morning, fellas. Dan, nice to hear you on the show.
Yep, I know your voice
good
very
job.
Well from screening your calls.
Johnny, I'm still distraught over blowing that question about the tight end. Derek Brown.
That's all right.
Guy I mentioned was drafted right after LT in 81. That was Dave Young from Purdue.
Yep. Here's the thing. When you're a caller to the show, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to screw up. When you host the show, you're going to do it even more. You have to be able to get right back on that phone and bring your A game and make up for it the next time out. So you're up. Let's make it happen.
I don't want to forever be known as the guy that blew that question.
Jeff, in fairness, you will always be known as the guy that came up with the IAT nickname for the Travis Beckham play against
good.
The Packers.
That's good. That makes me feel better. Yeah. Okay, now, as luck would have it, you had a man calling earlier from Pennsylvania, and he mentioned Bob Tucker, who was also one of my all-time Giant favorites, number 38 for the football Giants. And in order to make up for my blown call yesterday, I will tell you that Bob Tucker came to the football Giants via the Pottstown Firebirds, a semi-professional football team. So hopefully that makes up a little bit for that blown mistake.
It's a good nugget.
Okay. That's all I got for you today.
There we go.
I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Jeff, thanks a lot.
Bye.
See, that's a little Jeff throwing out the old school nugget there.
And speaking of Bob Tucker, pulled up the all-time receiving yards leaders in Giants history. He is 10th all-time.
Okay.
In all reception yards with 4,376.
And he is number one at tight end, it looks like. Huh?
It looks like he's number one at tight end. Shockey is 13th overall. This is not just tight ends, including all receivers. He has 4,228.
Curiosity. I'm going to commandeer a computer here. How about in terms of receptions? So Tucker is one in yards. Shockey, wow. Shockey is fourth overall in terms of receptions. So Shockey, all-time leading Giants tight end in terms of receptions, but Bob Tucker number one in terms of receiving yards.
Go.
So there we go. Shockey obviously had a very long career and a successful one despite some of the issues. Obviously, Jeremy Shockey's off the field might be the worst way of – bad way of putting it. Mental problems, maybe?
It's a
lack of focus?
There we go.
Unwillingness to block? Things of that nature? 201-939-4513. Bobby is in New Jersey. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, what's going on, bud?
Hey, Bob.
I just had a couple quick questions. Some quick ones. Who do you guys got starting at the other end opposite JPP? Kiwi, or do you think they'll give Moore a shot?
I don't think Moore is ready yet from a body type and size thing. Moore's future position is JPP's position. You want to have a bulkier run-defending guy play left end, and that is not DeMontre Moore. Yeah. Frankly, I'm not even sure Kiwi's the perfect body type for that either, to be quite honest with you. Colin Jenkins might actually be the best fit there, to be quite honest with you, but I think he's too valuable a defensive end. So right now I think it's Kiwi just by default.
Yeah, DeMontre Moore's more the pass rusher. Kiwi's more.
Okay. So do you think that affects when we got to sign back JPP, depending on his production this next year?
Well, I think the second part of your question there hit the nail on the head. I think JPP is going to have to be very productive next year because the same way the Giants were willing to let Linval Joseph go because Jonathan Hankins was there, they're trying to put themselves in the position next year where if DeMontre Moore shows them enough in his sophomore season, they could be willing to let JPP go if Moore does well enough. Now, here's the thing. I think JPP physically is capable of playing the left end position. Remember, Michael Strahan came to the NFL, started at right end, and eventually moved to left end. I could see Jason Pierre-Paul making a similar type of move with DeMontre Moore sliding in on the right side. So that's something to keep an eye on, but I think it all depends on how well Jason Pierre-Paul plays this year. This is probably the most important season in his young career.
Okay. And another thing, too, with a full season with John Beason, you know, running the helm, getting into the system and actually getting, you know, he came in last time, jumped in, he still did great. So imagine him with a full OTAs, you know, off-season, everything, camaraderie with everybody. And then you got McLean, who's going to start his strong side, I presume, and it should do wonders for Jaquan and Spencer Paysinger. Who do you guys think is going to start as a Will linebacker?
You know what? I think it's going to be a heck of a competition. I could see Paysinger being there on first and second down, and then they sliding in Jaquan Williams, who's probably a little bit better in coverage. I could see them splitting time there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I completely agree.
They both have good skill sets, but they're both lacking what the other has. I actually saw, I think it was Spencer Paysinger tweeted maybe yesterday or the day before, like Giants fans would love it if you could just combine both of us into one player.
Yeah, that's funny. I was actually going to bring that up to Schmelk before because we've joked about that.
Yeah.
And Paysinger straight up admitted it. It was actually pretty interesting.
Honestly, it's funny. Yeah. I did not see that tweet. Did he really tweet that if you can combine us, we'd be a perfect linebacker?
He bets the fans would love if they could combine Jaquan and his body. That is true.
That's very funny. So let me see. It would be like just Spencer Pay Williams. Yeah. Is that what it would be?
You go with that. Another one, guys. I heard you guys just talking about Evans and Ebron, and you know if who would the Giants take if you had the options there?
Yeah.
I called in yesterday too, actually for the first time, and we're talking a little bit about Ebron. I feel like I'm going to get your guys' take. If Evans and Ebron is there, I feel like the drop-off in talent from Ebron's skill set to the guys below him compared to, like you guys were just saying, you don't get Evans. He's 6'4", 6'5", 240. You know, he's got decent speed, but he's going to go up and get it.
you got guys like you said, a Kelvin Benjamin, who you can get maybe second round. Jarvis Landry from LSU, you can get second, third.
Another
round.
Good name, yeah.
I even really like the guy who was buried on the depth chart behind Sammy Watkins and last year DeAndre Hopkins, Martavius Bennett, or Martavius Bryant. He's 6'4", and I checked it up yesterday. His combine, he did a 4.4 in the 40-yard dash.
Out of Clemson, and he's actually a guy that's really quickly moving up draft boards from what I understand, and one of our guys on Twitter pointed that out too.
Yeah, I mean, some of these guys have, you have to sometimes think of with the raw talent they have, like with a JPP, where they have the raw talent that you can't teach to other guys, but they might lack certain skills, but you can always teach them.
Right.
Same with the blocking with Ebron. You know, you can learn how to block. You can't. Mm-hmm. Guys aren't going to learn how to be an explosive receiver. You get me?
No, Bobby, yeah. I think you're 100% right, and thanks a lot for the call, man. I appreciate it, and I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that's why right now I'm still leaning towards that, because I think in the second round you can still find a wide receiver that can be a playmaker, yeah. Even in year one.
Yeah, he brought up a great point. Yeah, the drop-off from one to even two in the top tight ends is a bigger drop-off than one to two with the wide receivers. So you can drop back, wait around, and find a quality wide receiver later on.
Yeah, because going into the combine, Evans wasn't even the consensus number two wide receiver.
No,
some people
no.
thought it could be Jarvis Landry. Some more people thought it could be Marquise Lee. There was still a little bit of confusion there.
Yeah, there's definitely been a push for Mike Evans, and I'm buying into it.
Well, you know, 6'5", 4'5", speed.
Yeah. Like the more highlights you watch of him.
And like Bobby said, you can't teach that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to, you know, get into the whole you can't teach height scenario, yeah, yeah. But you know what you can't teach? You can't teach height and speed together.
That's true.
You know, people make a big deal about height. Ramsey's Barton was slow. That's why he couldn't play.
Yeah.
But, you know, this guy, if you can run and you have size and you have pretty good hands, I'll tell you what, that's a very, very lethal combination that does not come along very often. 201-939-4513. And I think this is a good way to look at it, too. Once Evans is off the board, you figure the next wide receiver taken would probably still be taken in the top 18, I'd say. Top 20 at worst.
Teams need playmakers.
Is that second tight end going to go before 22 or 23 or 24? I don't think so.
No, I don't think you won't get two in the top 20.
Hence the bigger drop-off, which I think lends towards Bobby's point. 201-939-4513. Frank's down in Tampa. Frank, what's going on, pal?
Good morning. Good morning, and good morning, Dan.
Hello, Frank.
Good morning. I actually, one of the main reasons I called is to say hello to Dan and to actually to thank him. I've only ever called any kind of a show once before, and the person that answered the phone was so rude, I never did it again, and I thought I'd take one more shot. And Dan has always been such a gentleman that it encourages me to call back, and that may be good or bad, but thank you. You are a gentleman, and thanks.
Now, Dan has that very friendly Midwestern countenance upon him. And look, I'm engaged to a girl from the Midwest. I've been out to, like, Iowa
a
lot of times. Yeah. You know, we've gone out to Green Bay to play the Packers a bunch of time. And no joke, this is a kid from grew up in Brooklyn. It is like a different race of people out there. The people that grew up in the Midwest, generally speaking, are the nicest group of people you will ever meet. They're just so pleasant to be around. I don't even know how to talk to half of them. It's so strange for me.
Yeah, I'm married to a girl from Ohio, so I understand what you're talking about. Different world. Different world. An Ohio Stater, too.
Oh, boy.
All right. We've already talked about that enough. I won't sicken people anymore.
Couple quick things, guys. This goes back to a question, John, two questions I asked you a couple days ago. One was about the cap and whether they have, you know, teams have to be constantly under it and prove that, and you said yes. And then, so the first question is, then is that information not released to the public? Because otherwise, why is it so hard for people, even like yourselves, to follow, you know, whether how much we're under or over?
Well, that's something that teams, I think, try to keep secret. I don't think they want to know. They don't want other teams to know how much money they have to spend it to get into a bidding war for people. The best official place to find it, if you go to the National Football League's Players Association's website, they will periodically update each team's cap situation. And since it's the NFLPA and they get the contract information from the players, that's the best place to get the information. But as Ralph Vacchiano pointed out the other day on Twitter, you know, from day to day, those numbers have changed based on more details of contracts being made available and how the Giants are structuring it. So, you know, once you get – this is how I look at it. Once you get, like, two, three, four, 5 days passing without the Giants adding another player – Like on Monday, for example, if the Giants don't add anybody else over the weekend, I will look at the NFLPA website, and I'm going to be pretty confident on Monday morning that whatever number is up there is going to be the number that is probably close to being accurate. But otherwise, I mean, it's just, Frank, this stuff is so complicated with signing bonuses and roster bonuses and spreading it out, guaranteed money, base salaries. I mean, there's so many things that go into it. I was talking about it yesterday. The Giants have two people whose sole job is to manage the salary cap and do this type of work. It's a hard thing to do.
Right. No, I understand. I just didn't know if the NFL at any given moment on a website or whatever would have something that says Giants are at, you know, $102.6 million. Dallas is that they don't do that.
The NFL does not. The closest official thing, like I said, is the stuff from the NFL Players Association. I think that's as good as you're going to get.
Very good. And then also, I remember I asked another question, and you said, yes, I think so. And then you said, well, that's a good question. I'm not 100% sure. And something you said yesterday made me think about it again.
What's
and
that?
That was I asked if teams could either request or players' agents could give tapes of recent workouts or if players could if teams could work out players. And when you yesterday mentioned with Manningham, you said, well, you know, there's a question if he has that explosion, if he can cut, and it made me think again. You know, were they able to bring him out on a field and make sure that he can cut, you know, before? And is that, you know, can teams do that?
Yeah, you know what, you can, but I think you can only see so much from a workout. You know, you're not going to really know how explosive he is until you see him go against somebody else, you know.
Oh, I know that part,
with,
but
you know, with the chance of getting
actually
hit and things like that. Yeah, right. I mean, Dan, correct me if I'm wrong. I think these guys, when they're free agents, they come. They can work out for teams. They can pretty much do whatever they want, right? They're free agents. Isn't it up to them?
I believe so, yeah. So you can – when you always hear about pending physical and all that stuff. I think that's all the
right,
workout.
Well, physical – right. But the physical, I know. But, you know, I've never once heard anybody say, you know, yeah, when they interview guys, when they sign, yeah, you know, I had a great workout and they liked me or whatever. I've never heard – and I've never heard a team say, you know, we had him in and, boy, he, you know, he had his speed back. We had him run another 40, you know. I never hear any of that. So it makes me think they can't do it. Or, gosh, why – with those kinds of investments, why wouldn't you do it, you know? So maybe you guys can find that out because that very much interests me. Because so many questions, you know, so many mistakes are made that it really seems to me that if they can't do it, you know, they must not be able to if they do have the right to. Because why wouldn't you do it? It just seems awfully, awfully odd to me. The last thing I had was, excuse me, the as far as why do you think we got two return guys? I mean, we could, you know, we got another $1 million or $2. We might be able to put toward another another player that we could get on the field. Any idea why we've done that?
Competition. I mean, I think that's all it's going to be. I think they would have loved to just bring in Trindon Holliday and hand him the job. But if he shows in training camp that he doesn't protect the football enough, they want somebody there that can step in and do it for him. Look, this your off-season roster, Frank, is so big. I mean, there are guys on this roster that have literally like a less than 2% chance of making the roster. So if I'm able to, you know, fill up two of those spots with two guys that I know can play in the NFL, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do it. I actually think it's a smart move to have both these guys here pushing each other to, you know, motivate each guy to do a better job in practice.
Yeah, but if they wouldn't count against the cap, I could say absolutely that. But, you know, it just seems like, man, we might be able to fill another hole.
I mean, Trindon Holliday costs less than $1 million, I think. I mean, he's close to the veteran's minimum. So his effect on the cap is negligible.
Mm-hmm. And my last thing is with Ebron. You know, when I look at those and look at value, you know, I look at him and I see a potential Pro Bowler. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful once again to see somebody actually catch a seam pass, be headed toward the end zone at full steam, you know, have a safety have to make a, you know, a business decision if they want to hit him or not. And plus with the new rules, you know, as it is, guys are, you know, afraid to really put a lick on someone even if they're willing to do it. And I just think that he is so much a better tight end than any wide receiver that might be left would be above, you know, the other wide receivers. I mean, Evans, he looks very good, but I don't see him as a potential Pro Bowler where I see that in Ebron, and I just think that we need somebody that's, you know, a difference maker, a game and an offense changer. I mean, I think he could change our whole offense. I don't see that with any, you know, wide receiver except maybe Watkins that's out there. And also, you know, as people have said, his catch radius, his willingness to go up, Eli is known to throw the ball high. It, you know, it just looks to me like you could build an offense around that and take a lot of pressure off of, you know, Cruz and others, whereas, you know, with any of the wide receivers that would be left, I just don't see them as that much of a game changer. But thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, Frank.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man. And I think, I mean, you can find a receiver that's a game changer. And one of the guys that we didn't mention, and King underscore CB on Twitter brought him up, but Dante Moncrief's another guy. He's a guy that was at Ole Miss last year, had put up a lot of good numbers, ran a 4.4 at the combine, which is very good speed. I mean, he's another guy that's probably going to be a second-round pick that has the skill and ability to be a number one or number two wide receiver. There are just a lot of wide receivers, I think, that are in this draft that you can plug and play and say, you know what, this guy can be a starter in year number one. 201-939-4513. Back to our phones. Let's go to Kashawn down in Maryland. Kashawn, what's going on? How are you?
Hi, John. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Kashawn. Say hi to Dan for the first time.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Hi, Kashawn. How are you doing?
Good. Okay, so a few things. I did watch some YouTube highlights of Mr. Ebron.
Yes.
And I have to say that I got a little hot under the collar watching him. I mean, this guy looks awesome. I mean, his seam routes are crisp and nice. He has wonderful hands. I mean, I'm really excited. I'm jumping on the bandwagon here for Mr. Ebron.
Congratulations,
so,
Josh.
I feel like the Pied Piper leading a bunch of Giant fans holding up North Carolina Eric Ebron jerseys.
Yes, I mean, I'll be very ecstatic if we get him. But my concern is there are 11 teams that are picking ahead of us.
Correct.
Unlike the Falcons, don't they need a tight end?
The Falcons will either pick an offensive lineman or Jadeveon Clowney if they can get their hands on him. Or they can also pick a Khalil Mack. They could pick an Anthony Barr. They're either going offensive line or they're going defense, the Falcons, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, because I was trying to review, like, which teams would – most likely, you know, try to steal him away from
us. Let's see. I think if you were worried about teams taking him, I think, let's see, nobody in the top five, not the Falcons at six. I mean, the Bucks, I guess, could take a look at him at seven, but I think that's probably a little bit early. They'll probably try to pick a difference maker on defense or the offensive line. They could also pick a quarterback, too, considering they just basically took the job away from Mike Glennon and gave it to Josh McCown.
Yeah, what's going to be really important is where the quarterbacks fall.
Yeah.
For them. That really will dictate what the Giants can do at 12.
If all three quarterbacks go before 12, which I still think is likely, despite Bridgewater's bad pro day, I think there's a very good chance that either Evans or Ebron will be there for the Giants at 12. I think the Lions just spent a lot of money on Pettigrew, so they're not going to take a tight end. The Bills, I think, could be an answer there. The Vikings need as many playmakers as they can get. I think Ebron's an option for them at number 8. And the Titans, didn't they spend money on a tight end? I got to look up the Titans, situation. But I think you're looking only a 2 or 3-team window there, Kashawn, that could be interested in a guy like Ebron or a guy like Evans for that matter.
Okay, so let me ask Dan, because I already asked you this last week, and you didn't agree. So, Dan, so you know, like, historically, Jerry Reese has not been – he hasn't done well in the 4th or 5th round. And I think that it seems, you know, he went and spent all this money in free agency, so it looks like he, you know, he wants the Giants to win this year. So I think he needs to change his tactics a little bit. And really, the Patriots do it all the time. They'll trade, like, a 4th or a 5th round pick this year and next year, and then they'll get two second rounders. I think Jerry should do something like that. Well, he gets rid of those middle rounds because he doesn't really know what he's doing anyway, and get two quality second round picks, because I think we still need a defensive end, and then we can also get a really nice wide receiver. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll say this. I agree with the philosophy of stockpile draft picks. I mean, that's where you build your teams. That's where you're going to – the more picks you have, the more chances you are going to hit. Because as we all know, this is calculated guessing. I like the philosophy. I just don't know if that will be necessarily implemented this year. Yeah, I guess I'll say that.
Well, I think especially Kashawn, I think – remember, they don't have a 7th rounder already because of the John Beeson trade last year. And I think – the team has so many holes that you need to have as many picks as possible. And I also guarantee you, and I understand your logic, there is a logic to it that makes sense. I guarantee you, Jerry Reese in his head isn't saying, boy, I suck at these fourth and fifth round picks. I got to get rid of these things. He's saying, I want to make up for past mistakes. I'm going to nail some good players in those spots this year that are going to be players here for a long time.
Okay. Now, and then lastly, will the draft always be in May, and why did they move it to May? Because I really don't like that date.
Yeah, the way the NFL did it, yeah, they want to split up all their events as much as possible. So every month you have an NFL event. So in January you have the playoffs. In February you have the Super Bowl. End of February, beginning of March, you have the Combine. Then in the beginning of April or in the middle of April, you have the schedule. That gets released, and that's supposed to be a big deal.
And March then, free agency.
And free agency in March, too, obviously. Duh. And then, of course, in May, now you're going to have the draft. June, you have OTAs and minicamp. In July, you have training camp starting at the end of the month. So the NFL, seriously, the whole reason they did this was so they could spread all their events out as much as possible so the NFL is as much on the minds of their fans for 12 months a year. Now, it's funny. I had a chance to talk to Bill Polian about that, Sean, at the NFL Combine, and he hated it. He's like, I get why they're doing it, but it's bad for the players. It's bad for the teams. And the reason he thinks moving the draft back is so bad, and I wouldn't be surprised if it gets moved back another week or two next year, is it gives these rookies less time at the facilities to really get into their playbook. And a lot of times being in combine shape and being in draft shape, being in pro day shape is different than being in football shape. You know, absolutely. Basically these guys for the combine, they'll train like a sprinter. You know, they won't train like a football player. So when they get to these teams' camps and they start doing OTAs and mini camps, they're more susceptible to injury. So I think there is a danger here moving that draft back much more than they already have.
Okay. And then lastly, could you guys name some defensive ends that you think that would be a good pick for the Giants? Because I bet you pick a defensive end, probably in either the second or the third round, and then maybe we need to go lineman. So do you guys have – does any names come to mind? And that's all I have for today. Have a good weekend, guys.
Hey, I appreciate Kashawn. Thanks so much, as always. One of my favorite callers, Kashawn down there in Maryland. You know, there aren't a ton of defensive ends that are considered, you know, can't miss first round guys.
It's
except
not the strong
for,
point of this draft. Class.
Exactly. Well, top of it. But top there are it, a yeah. lot of guys end of round one, middle of round two that a lot of people do like. Cody Ealy has kind of crept up into that high teens, low 20 area out of Missouri. He's a guy that can play a little bit. D Ford out of Auburn's another guy. But again, he's just 250. Is he a 4-3 end or is he a 3-4 outside linebacker at 250? I think he's somewhere in between. One guy that I know a lot of people like, because he's one of the more traditional 4-3 defensive ends in this draft, and I think I'm pronouncing his name right, is the Scott Crichton kid out of Oregon State. A lot of people really think he could be a pretty effective pass rusher end of round one, early round two. If he's there for the Giants when they pick in the second round, I think he's a guy they could target, Danny.
Yeah, definitely. That's going to be a position that they'll have to fill in those, as Kashawn said, those very important middle round picks. They need to shore up that defensive line.
Yeah. Look, Jerry Reese's history, Dan, even when the Giants
when
were stacked at defensive line, they picked defensive linemen. So, you know, considering, you know, let's be honest, Mathias Kiwanuka has 1 year left on his deal after this season. The chance that he gets renewed in his back long-term at the age of 32, 33 is probably pretty low. So you're going to have to figure out what you're going to do with him. What are you going to do with Jason Pierre-Paul? He's a free agent. What if he has another down year again, has an injury? Are you going to bring him back long-term? Is he a staple there? I don't know the answer to that. So then all you're looking at then is Demontre Moore. That you need to play two.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to start restocking the cupboard here. Even if it's not for next year, you're going to have to start looking ahead a little bit.
Yeah. It just underscores how quickly things evolve in the NFL. It's really remarkable. I mean, all the questions this year are the offense. Would you have said that last year? The offense was flying after the Super Bowl. And it's amazing the turnover and how quickly dynamics of teams can change.
It's a really good point. And last year, I remember both of us got a lot of complaints from Giant fans about why would the Giants pick a defensive tackle in the second round? Well, guess what? Look at this year. Who's going to be starting a defensive tackle?
Hankins.
Jonathan Hankins. And there you go. All right, folks, we got two more calls on the line. We'll take those two, and then we're going to say goodbye. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Marcus down in Philly. Marcus, what's going on, pal?
Hey, how's it going, man? Been listening to the show all morning. A couple of the callers stole a little bit of my thunder. I've called in a couple times this week about Eric Ebron. And I was actually thinking last night about the Super Bowl, our last Super Bowl when we played the Patriots the second time. And I remember they showed footage of Bill Belichick on the sideline saying, "Don't let Knicks and Cruz beat us." They doubled down on Knicks, they doubled down on Cruz,
yep.
which allowed Manningham to make that big catch. And Manningham was actually, those last couple of drives, he came up big for us.
Yeah. I think he had three catches on that final drive.
Right. And the reason I bring that up is because Eric Ebron is a guy that can work the seam in the middle of the field. If you get a Mike Evans in there, that's a great pick, but you can kind of game plan him and game plan Cruz. That middle of the field is where you go to work at. And I think Eric Ebron can do wonders there. There was a caller about two calls ago, and it was something that I was thinking about. There's so much talent in this draft at wide receiver. You got guys that are 6'4", 6'5", 230, 240. You got the 5'8", 5'9 guys that are 180. You know, they run the 4'3", 40s. We can get a quality receiver in the second or third round, in my opinion. But Ebron is a guy after him. There's a little drop-off. So I would rather pick him, the top-tier guy at that position, and then get maybe a 1B guy at receiver that you can plug in. And Ebron will cause mismatches that allow this guy to get open. So that's just my opinion on that. And I also just have a comment before I go.
Yeah.
There's a guy on our offensive line. I actually love this kid in college. I watched him in college. And I actually just read an article that he was doing pretty good before he got hurt, and that's number 67, Brandon
Mosley.
Mosley, I couldn't think of it.
You know, Mosley is funny. Dan and I actually sat down this year, and if you guys have watched our Inside the Film Room features this year, Dan and I were the two guys that really went through a lot of the game tape and watched some of these guys over the course of the year. And Mosley actually did flash. He moved around pretty well. He was pretty physical, but he simply wasn't able to stay healthy. So that's a big thing for him. But I do believe the Giants think he can provide some good depth at guard this year. And I think, frankly, that's probably one of the reasons they haven't done quite as much in free agency, Dan, is that they like some of these younger guys, whether it's Mosley or Brewer or even Cordell, to be the depth there rather than going out there and spending on veterans.
Yeah, it's time for them to step up. I mean, the opportunity's there for them.
Mosley's a fourth-round pick. You pick an offensive lineman in the fourth round, and you're number three, you almost expect him to be a starter, so you better be damn ready to be a backup.
Yeah, and you touched on his progress was a little delayed with, I think it was a foot. Was it
foot
as a rookie? That's been... But I love Brandon Mosley's size. He looks like a lineman that you need.
Yeah, he does. He really does. He has a nice beard, too, which I know you're a big fan of.
We talk about it.
Can I just say one more thing?
Yeah, sure, Marcus.
I heard someone say also about, and I talked about it yesterday, about moving around in the draft. I don't believe we should move up in the draft with our 12th pick, with the number 12 overall pick.
I agree.
There's only one pick that I could see moving up for, and that's Clowney, and he's going to be gone in the first two or three picks. So we can't give up picks to get one guy when we have so many holes to fill, and this draft is so deep. We can hit a spot at every round. I know we don't have a seven, but we can hit somebody and get someone in every round. I think that can help our team immensely. So that's pretty much all I have, guys. Thank you for taking my call, and I'll listen to you guys the rest of the way off the phone. Thank you.
Sounds good, Marcus.
Hey, I appreciate it, man.
I agree with Marcus. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Marcus is right on top of it. But you know what? I wouldn't be adverse. If you get to 12, and in our theoretical world, let's say only one quarterback goes in the top 11, okay? And that's probably worst-case scenario for the Giants. You want as many quarterbacks to go.
Yeah, if you're a Giants fan, you're rooting for everybody to take quarterbacks.
And by the way, I think one of the real fascinating parts of this draft, and I'll get to this in a second, is where Derek Carr is going to go. Because he's a guy that a lot of people haven't talked about top 15, but, I mean, is he really that much of a worse prospect?
There he is right there.
Teddy Bridgewater and the Johnny Manziels, and they're showing Derek Carr at his pro day in Fresno State. And the impressive thing there is that he was in the hospital the night before. He's taking an IV from the training staff the morning of his pro day, and he comes out there and he does well. And by the way, I didn't bring this up before. Whoever brought up Troy Nicolaus did not do a lot of position drills at his pro day recovering from a hernia surgery. So I'm not sure if that's going to affect his draft stock. And if it does to the point where he's available in round two for the Giants, I think that's probably a good thing considering what he's done on game tape. I'm not really that concerned with his workout, 6'6", 270. You know what he's going to give you. But worst case scenario, only one quarterback, and as I circle back in my slow roundabout way, if only one quarterback goes in the top 11 and Ebron, Evans, and even Lawan, let's say, worst-case scenario, all those guys are gone, and you're looking at the C.J. Mosleys, you know, maybe an Anthony Barr, maybe Gilbert and Denard are still both on the board. And now the Giants obviously don't have a need at cornerback. I think that'd be an overkill pick, even though they're both good players. Do they investigate trading down? And how far should they be willing to trade down if they get to 12 and they don't see that game-changing type of player there?
Yeah, it's a great question. That's which they will investigate. And I think one of the positions, I think we talked about a little bit, a dark horse position, I think still could be a linebacker if one of those guys does fall, an Anthony Barr. Even Mosley, even though his draft stock has slipped a little bit. But I think they want to shore up this defense. They've made a statement in free agency. This defense is going to be competent. It's going to be confident. It's going to be a strength this year.
Now, fans think, and logically speaking, it makes sense, and I've said it before on the show too, that in the first round this year, you got to go for an offensive player, considering how the offense was quote-unquote broken last year, and they haven't really done a ton in free agency aside from Mario Manningham, low-cost guy, you know, Rashad Jennings at running back, and Jeff Schwartz on the offensive line. How imperative do you think it'll be to Jerry Reese to pick an offensive player in round one, or will he stick to his guns on best player on the board?
That's a tough question. One I've been struggling with for the past couple weeks. The evolution of what I've thought the Giants could do has changed dramatically. Coming off the season, they have to draft offensive line. Then you get through free agency and some of the signings. The evolution of where I have thought the Giants are going to go has changed so much, and it's a great question.
Yeah, I think it really is, and I agree. I think tight end, I think linebacker would be a good dark horse selection there. I think it does make a certain amount of sense, and if you want to trade down too, then you can start talking about the defensive ends. If you trade down to 18, I think Coney Ealy is a guy you could talk about if you think he's a guy you like. 201-939-4513. Len is in Maryland. Len, what's going on? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hi, Dan.
Hey,
how
Len.
You doing?
How's it going?
Good. You know, when you pick at number 12, guys, you're shopping at Neiman Marcus. Hold on to that pick.
And Len, by the way, I have that the draft trade value chart up that they kind of publish each year where they give points to each draft pick. So if the Giants, just for example, decide to trade down from number 12, to number, let's say, 18, that would give them, you know, 300 value points on this draft trade value chart. That would get them a mid to late second rounder. So you could probably get another team's second round pick if you're willing to go down from 12 to 18. You might have to throw them like a 6 or something like that, but you could probably get an extra second round pick if you're willing to trade down 5, 6, 7 selections.
I don't even want to go there, John. 12th pick in the draft. Look at the names we're throwing around who's going to be there, and we're hoping that four quarterbacks go in the top 10. I think there's a good chance Carr's going to go to Minnesota. I think four quarterbacks could be gone in the top 10, John.
Well, Len, if four quarterbacks are gone in the top 10 and you're looking at the top, you know, seven position players in this draft that are on one of the top seven position players still on the board in this draft, I agree with you. I think you have to take one.
Well, I think there's going to be. Now maybe it's Ebron, who's our guy, and I mean I wouldn't be upset at that, but I think definitely it's got to be on the offensive side. I wouldn't be surprised. Of course, this is the way I want it to go, so I might be surprised because Jerry might do it differently. If the first four picks are on the offensive side, John, and Dan, what do you think of that? You know, if you line up, can we line up our needs? I know it's almost time to go for the weekend, but what are the needs? What order would you put? If you were going best player available at most needy position on offense, where would you go?
Tight end.
Okay. What would be second?
Offensive line.
Okay.
I agree. I will put offensive line ahead of wide receiver, I think, though it's close. I think receiver is a close third.
All right, so we got three. Where's the fourth round one?
Defensive
on offense.
Well, just for the record, I would put defensive line. You know, in that. Okay. Honestly, I think offensive line, wide receiver, and defensive line are kind of interchangeable, 2 through 4. To be honest with you, I think you have big enough needs in all those spots. The fourth biggest.
You can find quality.
Yeah. I agree. Fourth biggest offensive need. I mean, obviously you're not looking at quarterback.
I'd go running back. I'd go, just to pick a different position, I'd go running back in the fourth round.
All right, I'd buy that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'd completely agree. Yeah, running back is the position. Yeah.
Some depth.
I'd go four offensive players in a row. Surround Eli. He's our biggest asset. Like I felt the other day, I know, John, you thought we were at 9 wins with what we've done in free agency. I think we're at 8 wins. I think we can get to 10 wins. Surround Eli. He's our biggest asset. We got to give him weapons. Let's go get those offensive players. If it turns out to be Ebron, yeah, so be it. And Frank's description of that tight end running down the middle of the field through the seam, you know, maybe even running over some people. I mean, it's a beautiful thing when you close your eyes. The only thing he didn't add to what he wanted out of that tight end was somebody who didn't trip over the 20-yard line. We don't want anybody. And why would Tampa draft Ebron? They got Brandon Myers. They're set for five years at tight end, guys. I'm on the offensive bandwagon. I want to surround my man Eli. As John said earlier, John, I think it was today, maybe it was yesterday, the shows sometimes run together for me, but somebody said, who's the most important Giant? I mean, it's Eli.
No, it is. Yeah. No, Len, I agree.
Let's give the guy some weapons.
All right, Len.
Hey, listen, you guys have a great weekend.
Wait,
Dan,
Len.
Great to hear you
Len,
on the
Len.
Show. I hope there's a – yeah.
Can I ask you something before we get off?
Sure.
Have you had a chance to check out the bracket challenge that we have going on at Giants.com right now?
You know, I didn't do it. I filled something out of the newspaper, and I'm a little sad this morning. I was up till almost 1 o'clock last night. My Jaspers went down to Louisville. I'm a Manhattan grad.
Oh, I didn't know that, Len. Okay.
I'm a Manhattan grad.
I got to tell you, what, though? Don't be sad, Len. Your Manhattan Jaspers did a hell of a job staying in that game.
They sure did.
They did a great job. And you know what? I was up to around 1:15 watching that game. And even though I had Louisville going into my finals in my bracket, I'll tell you what, I was rooting for Manhattan. I really wanted them to win that game.
Yeah, they did a nice job, too. It would have been great to see some, you know, a New York school, and it would have been great to see some New York kids do well. And, you know, Matt, the coach, actually went to my old high school.
Wow.
And he and I went to the same high school. Of course, there were a lot of years between us, but that's kind of an interesting thing. So, yeah, I think you're right. I should rephrase it. I shouldn't be disappointed, and I'm not. It was a great showing by the Jaspers, and hopefully we get back, sometime in the near future and, you know, win a game. It's a great basketball school. Yeah. It's a great basketball school.
Hey, Lennon, by the way, Dan makes a good point. Yeah. Go to the bracket challenge. I want you to place your vote. We have, like, 16 different matchups right now. Best plays in Giants history. Go there, check them out. I'm curious to see what your opinion on.
I was curious
some
to see what your opinion was of the best play in Giants history.
Well, I'm gonna do that. And the gentleman who called earlier and threw out the Bob Tucker name, she's a terrific football player. Dude, during the lean years, man, those were terrible years. But we had Bob Tucker.
Yeah, you had terrific Bob Tucker, player. And then terrific. Eventually in the late 70s, you had those linebackers come in that could play a little bit. But you're right; those are some lean years.
Yeah, that's right. That's when they came. But Tucker was. He was special. He was special.
Thanks, Len.
Hey, guys, thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
All right, hey, we'll talk next week.
All right.
Okay, Dan. Hey, Dan, I hope you're back again with us.
All right, sounds good, Len.
Dan will start to become a regular here. So, you guys, you're fill of Dan Salmo and Ohio State University.
Yeah.
I will not call it the Ohio State University. Sorry. Yeah. You know what? I wasn't going to take any more callers, but, you know, somebody called up, and this individual last week gave up on the season. There's visual proof of it on Twitter. I have it up on the wall here. This guy gave up on the season. He said, I'm not going to call back till next year's season is over. But he's back only a week later, and that's Charlie in Portland, Maine. Charlie, I thought you gave up. What happened?
Hey, so much has gone on. I've got to say something here.
Charlie, okay? once you jump off the ledge, you can't climb back up. You hit the ground. You're done.
I am off the ledge. But let me give you my take on what's going on.
What do you got for me?
Okay?
Yeah.
I hope Cromartie can really tackle because that's all he's going to be doing because we don't have any defensive linemen.
Well, Charlie, and it's funny you mentioned that, if there's really a big weakness in Cromartie's game, he does not like contact and he does not like to tackle.
Yeah, and, I mean, he had one good year in Denver. He was horrible in Philadelphia. I mean, that was only like 2 years ago. So – And the thing is, we don't have a defensive line. And then somebody said something. Everyone's trying to dish Tuck a bit, you know, like he had 11 sacks, but only six of them were in Washington, blah, blah. Well, that's where you want your players to play their best, is in division games. Because if you win those six division games, you can go 500 for the last 10, and you'll have an 11-5 record.
Yeah, right.
And
Charlie, I agree with that, but I think the knock people are trying to put on Tuck, and I don't necessarily agree with this, but I think the point people are trying to make is that the Redskins had almost checked out of the season by the time you got to those games. So I think some people do, and scouts do this too. They take a look at your opponent, how hard they're playing, what they're playing for, and they judge your performance based partially on that as well.
But I think if you look at Tuck's statistics and OCs and Knicks, they always played big in the divisional games. And that's where you want to play big. That's when you want to be a Pro Bowl player, is in the divisional games. Like I said, you win those six, you can go 500 the rest of the 10, and you'll win your division every time. So unless they get a defensive, hit some tackles in the defensive line, Beeson is going to be useless because he's going to have a 300-pound lineman going after him instead of being protected from Tuck and Joseph like he was last year.
Well, Charlie, I think Jonathan Hankins will be able to step in and do nearly as good of a job as Linval Joseph did next year. I honestly believe that. From what I saw of Hankins on tape in the 20 snaps a game he played, give or take, last year, he did a very good job stopping the run. He really did.
And for Jerry Reese, he's not, you know, I was listening to Len when he was saying we're going at Walmart. We're not only going at Walmart, we're going to the ER trying to pick people up.
Oh.
We brought Spencer in.
They didn't sign him.
We brought Schofield in. We didn't sign him, but I bet you we will sign him towards the end because they'll come back on a one-year deal for peanuts. Because that's what Reese is going after. He's going after to fill that defensive line. He's going after people who are, you know, are injured, and he can get them for cheap.
Charlie, aren't you excited about having one of the best defensive backfields in football? The Giants literally might have the most talented defensive backfield in football. Doesn't that get you at least a little bit excited?
I don't think Cromartie is an elite cornerback. He had a good year in Denver because of the system, and I hope we play the same system that Denver did, then he'll probably do well. But if we play the same system that Philadelphia did just 2 years ago, he was horrible. I mean, he's not a shutdown corner. That guy can get beat. You know, if we don't, as you know, I don't care if we have Revis back there, if you don't rush the passer and you don't put pressure on the passer, no defensive back can stay with wide receivers for very long. They will get open. And we don't, right now, we don't have the line that's going to rush the passer and put pressure on a quarterback.
Yeah, but Charlie, don't you agree, though, that having such good corners gives Perry Fuel the freedom and ability to bring more guys than just his front four, considering they have much better cover guys now than they had the last couple of years?
All right, who do we have? And then we pick up McClain, who has a neck contusion. He's another injured guy.
He played
last
year.
We bring him in, and we let Rivers go.
Oh, boy. Charlie.
You know, I mean, I just don't see it. I mean, until we really go after and get, to me, what we need to do in the draft. I mean, remember, we only get six people in the draft. You're going to be lucky if you have two of them that can start. And with Coughlin, you'll be lucky if you have one that will start. So you're going to have five drafted players sitting on the bench or playing special teams. They're not going to fill all these holes. I don't understand why people think that the draft is going to solve our problems, maybe 5 years down the road. But with Reese's recent drafts, we got Robinson, who's been here for 3 years, still not playing. We have Hosley still not playing. I mean, we have so many people that we drafted that haven't done what, and I don't think it's all them. I just think we haven't, well, Robinson was injured, but we haven't given them a chance to play. And that to me has been the problem. They don't give the rookies a chance,
Charlie,
to play.
But here's the thing. Look, I'm all for giving rookies a chance, but here's the thing. Rookies also have to earn that chance. They have to earn the chance in the meeting room. They have to earn that chance in the weight room. They have to earn that chance in practice. They have to earn that chance at minicamp, in training camp.
Okay.
You can't just hand stuff to these guys. And
you're proving my point. how many of those six draft choices are actually going to be a starter in September?
I think you'll have two with an outside chance of three. That's how deep. Now, look, Charlie, usually I agree with you. But this draft is – and look, last year I said the Giants only get one starter last year's draft. I said it. But this year, I believe you can get two to three because the draft is so damn deep. The guys getting picked in the middle of the second round this year are late first rounders in last year's draft.
Well, I hope Reese can actually pick somebody that's going to be good. I mean, my feeling is he's not going to go offense. He's going to go defense. He's going to take the guy out of Pittsburgh, Donald, the defensive tackle, who's supposed to be a monster. So that's where he's going to go.
Hey, look, Aaron Donald's a good player.
Unless, you know, someone slides down, you know, that is really like supposedly been a top five pick and he comes down to us, then he'll probably go there, offense. But, you know, there's so many holes that we have, and I just don't think the draft's going to cover them all. You've got to do it in free agency. You've got to plug the holes because you are going to get one or two guys that maybe will start in the beginning of this year. And we've got holes in the defensive line. We've got holes in the wide receiver. We got holes in tight end. We've got holes in the offensive line.
Every team in the NFL has holes. There's no team that is sitting there right now that doesn't have holes on their roster. Every team has holes.
Like I said before, we're Swiss cheese. The other ones aren't Swiss cheese. They don't have as many holes as we have.
Charlie, before I say goodbye, is your official prediction now 6-10? Can I can I write that down?
All right. 6-10.
Done.
So it'll be 6-10.
Thank you, Charlie.
Have a great week, guys.
Charlie, you're great. I love to hear from you. You're a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Hey, John, and also, congratulations on your coming wedding.
Oh, I appreciate it, Charlie. Thank you very much.
Okay, ciao.
Have a good one.
Some optimism for the weekend.
I know. Charlie goes, this team stinks. They're 6-10. The general manager's awful. Congratulations on your wedding. Have a great weekend. I love Charlie.
We love Charlie.
He's so fun. He has so much natural enthusiasm. It's great.
It's amazing.
I need Lance here to be his foil, though.
What is the countdown for the wedding?
Actually, yesterday, 100 days.
Nice.
So right now, I am at 99 days. How many days are you away? Dan is also engaged, by the way.
We're under 100. It's May 31st. I don't know the exact
number
of days.
You're probably, if you're May 31st, I'm June 28th. You're probably around, low 70s, high 60s, give or take.
We're getting there.
I know. Sucks, doesn't it? The planning is not fun.
That's what people keep saying.
I'm very excited about getting married. It's great. But planning a wedding is no fun.
That's why I'm having no part of it.
Yeah, see? Yeah, I have not been able to get away with that one. I've tried. It hasn't worked. I have been intimately involved in most decisions, which can be rough. Oh, boy. Yeah. Anyway. Dan, this was fun.
It was good.
Did you have a good time?
I had a great time.
Excellent. So Dan will be back with us a couple days a week. He'll be back with us next week as we continue to get guys on. We'll try to get some draft experts on, some more Giant beat writers, and, of course, we'll take your calls on Big Blue Kickoff Live every weekday morning at 9:30 on Giants.com.
We should remind everybody, check out our bracket challenge at Giants.com/bracket. Vote on the best play in Giants history.
Yeah, we have matchups. We are still in our round of 32. Voting for the round of 32 will close on Sunday. Our round of 16 will launch next Tuesday, run to the end of the week, and then obviously you'll get down to your round of 8 the following week. The Final Four will be the same weekend as the NCAA Final Four, and then our final matchup will have one day of voting the same day as the NCAA National Championship game. So,
great response so far. We've had over 50,000 votes, something like that. So,
what do you think? Tyree is gonna take it home?
It's got to. Yeah.
You think it's going to beat Manningham?
Yeah. I like how we have set it up, though. It will be one offensive versus defense in the championship.
Correct. I was wondering, too, if they should have split the brackets up. And, again, I wasn't – this was a Don Sproling production. I took credit for last year's, top draft classes thing. I was intimately involved in that. This has been a Don Sproling production, our vice president and executive producer. And if I was doing it, I would have split it up offensive and defense, too. Then I also would have split it up according to era. So I would have had – 90s and forward offense one, 80s and backwards in another, and then the same on the other side. And that's how I would have done it. Because I'm afraid we're only looking at modern-day stuff. Then again, I thought that for the draft class, and then I think the final two draft classes, 81 and 84?
It was the LT presence.
I think it was LT versus
dominated.
Banks.
LT just took it home. Voted for it.
Which is funny because, Phil Simms didn't get that same of love and respect. He actually got knocked out, I think, in the second round last year. Anyway, check it out. It's very good. And, of course, Dan's you're basically running that whole free agent tracker thing too, right? That's going to
be a
thing?
Yeah, we got a lot. Yep.
So keep an eye on that. And Factor Fiction will be going up later today, too. I actually have to send that email to you.
There we go.
Whoops. Everybody, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week on Giants.com. Everybody have a good one.